It's going to be interesting, to say the least. To those of you that do not know, the pastor of the house and his family are not here. I'm just filling in. But to let everyone know a little bit of background, Linda didn't know either who was actually going to be up here talking. And so she had no idea, but some of the songs, well, all of the songs actually, kind of resonated with me because love and how he loves us really has wrecked my life. And that's what really started and propelled the journey that I'm on now. And he's beautiful and the heart, and that's kind of what we wanted to, it's kind of where I was going today, but just the love is kind of resonated with me. So it's kind of cool to see what Holy Spirit's doing. And if my wife will come up here, y'all are going to, it's that your heart will carry you where your head can't fit. So it's a heart thing. You may not understand it. I don't understand actually what's going on right now. But we're going to go with it. Because it is my heart for him that will carry me where my head doesn't fit. And it's the faith and the trust in what he's doing and what he wants to do that we step in to his promises, and that requires faith and trust. We just got back Friday night from a couple of weeks in Honduras, and we were having a service. We call it a bonfire, and I was going to talk about testimonies, just our testimonies of what God's done in his faithfulness and what he's done in all of us. Just his testimony, just who he is and what he's done. About 6 years ago in Honduras, we were in a drought, needed rain desperately. It was bad. We had a campfire. It's just a worship service. I mean, it's a service just like today where you come in and you worship, and you preach, and you just have church. But we as a community came together and prayed hard for rain. So the next night, at the very same time, we were having another service, kind of like what we would call revival, I guess. But, I mean, we're having a service the very next night. And as we began to gather and began to worship, the heavens opened and it rained. And it blew me away. Blew me away. 24 hours later, after our prayer for rain as a community, the heavens opened and it rained. And you're talking about dancing in the mud. We danced in the mud and had a really big time. So, and pretty often I bring that up in conversation when we're out there, we're doing bonfires, just because we keep that testimony before us of his faithfulness. Because there's going to be times where you're going to go through hardships, right, Scott? All of us, right? Well, I say we do have some visitors, but who in here? I'm just kind of open, so it's just going to be like a gathering, and everybody contribute, okay? So we'll just see what God does through this. Who in here has gone through trials or tribulations or hard times? Let me see your hand. There's not one that's not raised, amen. And through those, we need to remember, because the enemy, I promise you, is going to pound you with God's unfaithfulness. If God is so faithful, why are you going through the mess that you're going through, right? But Scripture clearly says that we're going to go through things. And it's the way that we go through those things that distinguish us from unbelievers. Because we're going to go through those things in hope, right? That's the determining factor. We go through them with hope. Read Romans 5. Read Romans 5, and that's all I'll say. We won't go there. Because when I come in this morning, she said, I guess Genesis through Revelations. And I said, yeah, probably. So anyway, that's kind of how we go. I gave her one scripture, and then midway through worship, I went back there and gave her another one. And so that's just kind of how. But it's his faithfulness that's going to get us through the hard times. Not to forget his faithfulness. And that's a. So anyway, so I was talking to them at the bonfire, and I was going to talk about his faithfulness and his testimonies. And I was going to bring that testimony up and just to recount and bring it to remembrance of what we've seen it. I have a saying that once you see it, you can't unsee it. We experienced something there that I, 6 years later, still bank on. Because I saw God do something that I could not deny, even in hard times, right? So here we are, we're gathering that night. We kind of spread the word, and it was just a handful of people. We normally have a lot, 100 or so, and we probably had maybe 20, 30, maybe not many. So circumstances, you can kind of get down and think, well, we missed it. You know what? We're looking at numbers, or I was looking at numbers, and I thought, God, man, where's everybody at? But anyway, as we started, we had got the fire going. Guess what happened? Keith, you're exactly right. It started raining. This is dry season for them. It doesn't rain this time of year. I've never seen it rain while we were there on spring break. Whether anyone else in those 30 people connected the dots, but I did, because I knew that Holy Spirit was leading me to talk about testimonies of his faithfulness and what he's done. And it rained. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. It's up to me now to step into that with faith to believe God is doing something. That night, I just knew God was going to wreck all of us. He wrecked me. But no one responded out of the 30. Not one. To anything. Needing prayer. And normally they. Anyway, we usually have a good service. Everybody's praying. They're praying for us. No one moved for anything. But God done something in me. So, with that being said, this may be exactly the same. But God's doing something in me just from the confirmation of all the songs. And just what he's doing in us. So, I don't know how this is all going to shake out. But we're just going to go with it. Because this is not planned by any means. I'm glad it's family that y'all, there's grace and there's mercy here. So if we blow this, it's may not be for any of you, but it's going to be for me. When he captivates our heart, we're willing to give ourselves to him. James said right here, maybe, I don't remember the last time I was here, so forgive me because we've been out for a couple of weeks in Honduras, so time kind of goes away. But I just remember one of the last few times that we were here, James said, and has been said in this house many times, he's after our heart, he's after our heart, he's after our heart. It's more than just a confession of who he is. And we so need that, right? We do confess because with a heart, man believes. But confession is made unto salvation. But it first starts here. It's not a head thing. He's after our heart. And when he captivates our heart, then it's just putting faith to that and stepping out and trusting when you don't really see it. So our heart will carry us again. Where our mind and our head can't fit. You will do things from your heart, but if you sit there and rationalize it, then you'll talk yourself out of it. I've done that my whole life, and I'm sick of it. He either has me or he doesn't have me. I want him to have me, so I'm going to be quiet.
Where's Lisa? Lisa, you know, he got you last time. that.
Baguria. Baguria. And then.
Yeah, I love it when Marty says, yeah, just come on up here. And I'm like, okay, well, here we go.
All right, well, I'm getting it back. Because I know, and I really am going to give it to her. And then we'll come in and tidy up. I had a dream, I don't remember how long ago, that I was in this room, Krista was there, we were sitting on the couch, and I don't know how many other people were around, but I had my arm around her, she had her arm around me, and I looked over at her, and she had lip fillers. Nothing wrong with, I'm not, but she had lip fillers. And her breath smelled, no, it was distinguished. It was something unusual. It was just what was coming out of her mouth, the smell was distinct, is what I wrote down. And this was maybe a year ago, maybe. And it's so stupid, y'all. And when she got up from our conversation, her hair, back of her head was matted where she had been laying down for, you know, when you get out of bed, you have bed hair, right? Well, that's what it was for her. Because she got up and she walked off and that was the end of the dream. So from that, I felt like what she was saying, she has something to say that was very distinct and we all needed what she was about to say. But I couldn't figure out the matted hair thing. So I was sharing with her the dream, and she said, oh, it's from a place of rest. You just rested all night long. So it's from a place of rest in her that she has something to say. And it was distinct. Not that it was something that no one else has ever said before. It has nothing to do with that. And I'll kiss your foot. If it wasn't long after that, just with the work that we do in Honduras, it's normally me, and I think I shared this. I don't know if I did or not, but anyway, it's normally me that gets up and does most of the talking in front of the, when we go to the mountains in front of the tribes, and even at bonfires, it's usually me that gets up and shares. But about, I don't know, maybe in February when Victory went, it just shifted. It was like I was... Anyway, it just shifted. She just started speaking. Not planned, but she took the microphone and addressed the tribes and addressed all the people. And so something is shifting, and we're just going to continue that today if y'all are all right with it. And then we'll see what happens. So, tag, you're it.
And you'll just have to forgive me because when I start speaking, I start crying. It just kind of flows from a place of passion. And I've just began to just accept it. Marty talks a lot about connecting the dots. And from our last trip in Honduras, they were full circle moments. And that's just what I've really been, where I've been in... what God's doing in me, and just, yeah, a lot. God's doing something. I don't know what it is, but I'm learning to just accept it and quit fighting it. I've always been, like, in leadership in my work. And that was easy. I knew what I was doing, or I felt like I did, or I made it up along the way. I faked it until I was a good faker. Fake it till you make it. But I could fake it well enough to get the job done. And I felt comfortable there. And this is somewhere I don't necessarily feel comfortable because I've always kind of stood back and let Marty lead. Because he has so much to offer, and I think he is wise, and he knows the Bible a lot better than I do. It's not that I don't have a relationship with the Lord, but y'all, I just don't remember things like he does. You might say something today and I think, God, Scott, that was so good. And unless Krista writes it down, it's gone. Like, I might remember bits and pieces, but it's gone. And I don't like that about myself. I want to be able to remember things. And so I'm just going to start speaking into myself that God's redeeming what I can't remember. And he is going to redeem those thoughts and those things in my memory. And he's going to allow me to share those when they need to be shared. To me, that's a full circle moment. It's like he gave me, and if I had a good visual, it would be an arrow going up. And then there would be an arrow coming back down. And that's, those things to me are, is where, you know, it's just full circle. You go up and you've got a half a circle. And now it's beginning to come back down and be a full circle. And then God will be, he will close that circle for me. And it will just continue to go around and around. But I have to be aware of it and looking for it and listening for it, not just wandering around in the world, just floating and swaying from here to there, but being very intentional and not just dismissing those full circle moments or not just dismissing those words that he gives and that I hear and I think, that was significant. So let me go back to February, and KK was there, and we love because he first loved us. That was kind of the theme for the week. And Marty and I've said for years, it's a heart thing. I mean, we read a book by Heidi Baker, and it is Redeemed by Love. And I read it, and it was like, oh my God, what have I been doing all my life? I mean, I have been trying to figure this thing out, and I thought I could be good enough. I thought I could do enough. I thought I could do all these things, and it was just all about love. It was how much he loved me, and that when he first loved me, then through that love, I can love others, and love just makes it all better. I mean, it really does. When you think about it, love takes care of everything, and it doesn't come from anything that I can do because I'm not capable of loving you, Randy, like I'm supposed to unless I'm loving through the Father, period. I'm not lovable, that is for sure. But if you're loving me through the eyes of the Father, then I'm very lovable. So in February, and I'm, there again, I got to go back to my notes here. I really like to write things down because I really can't remember them. So February, I had written some notes about a house that we built, and it just says yesterday was so good. We built a house for Omar, Elisa, and their daughter. And I'm sorry, hold on just a minute. They were, they have just recently started a church, and after the bill, we went to DeMonte's, Elisa's mom. DeMonte and her husband are house sitting, and they're currently living 3 hours away. We are planning to build them a house in March. This was with the spring break team. The pastor was telling DeMonte's that how God works. The church has been praying for Elisa and Omar and DeMonte's for months to receive a house. God knew about them. He saw them even before the beginning of time, and the church believed. Our spring break team bought tickets about the time that Omar and Elisa started going to church, and the church began to pray for them a home. And this was just a quick reminder of the first trip that Sid and Lori came, and that Lori was praying for a friend of our, Carla, her daughter. And while we were there in February, it was like this full circle moment of Carla seeing Lori, and you just kind of had to be there. Carla ran to Lori like, yeah, Keith thought it was she was coming after him, and he said, "Dear Lord, why is she running toward me? Like she's like a bull in a china shop." But she ran to Lori, and that was that full circle moment of, you prayed for my daughter. And it was almost like Lori, through the Father's love, it was the Father's love that saved her daughter. And it was just that, those prayers that are there, and they're in that first circle that's going up or coming down, that first arrow of the circle, that first half of the circle, and that we're praying and believing for whatever, salvation, for life, for abundance, for just His love, and that we have such faith to believe. And sometimes it's 6 years later that that circle comes back up, and it's that full circle moment. So praying and believing. It was after that that we came back to church, and Sid was talking about moving from singing about Him to singing to Him. To me, that was a full circle moment. It was just like, I've never thought about that, that I'm singing about Him, but now I'm singing to Him. And when I think about learning about His love, I'm moving from about how He loves me to how to love Him. And there again, it's just those full circle moments. So this is what I wrote in my journal. Those full circle moments will begin to be released. Let them come out. Share them. The enemy wants to silence me. Don't let him. I am enough. And He is revealing so much about myself to me, my heart, not someone else's, not Marty's, Krista's. The journey is now. So it was right after that that Marty and I had the opportunity to go and speak to FCA at Jones Elementary. It's kind of funny that Irk was here this morning because he was there that day. Irk is with Nick and Amanda. And first thing he said was, "I know you." I said, "You do?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "I've seen you at church before when I came to church with Nick and Amanda," or Carter. He probably said Carter at the time. So it was kind of funny that he was here today. But the theme for that day was love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm going somewhere with this. Y'all just listen to me ramble. I'm just sharing my heart. I'm sharing my notes. But it was love your neighbor as yourself. And, you know, we as humans are, let's just talk about Krista. I'm selfish. I really am. I'm selfish. I'm not proud of it. I want to be generous. But when it gets right down to it, I'm selfish. There are so many stories about kindness in the Bible. Just about David's kindness toward King Saul, Jesus' compassion to the children, the parable of the Good Samaritan. But when I think about myself, I see a lot of things that the Lord just keeps revealing to me. You've just got to, it's just like an onion, and you just keep peeling these layers off. And I think, Lord, when is the last layer going to come off? And he just keeps saying, but this is the beauty of it, is through me revealing things to you, that revelation, and you're paying attention to me, I'm just going to continue to reveal things to you that you need to peel away and that you need to expose. So it's not fun to stand before people that I know you love me and to just admit that I'm selfish. I'm selfish with my time. Sometimes I'm selfish with just things that I have. Lisa and I were talking about cleaning out our closets today, and I so often go to my closet and it's simple things like this, but I'm telling you, I'm selfish. I'll pull out something and think, oh, I might want that. I'll just put it back. You know, don't need it. Don't use it. But hey, I don't want to let go of it because I might want it. When somebody else probably needs it. Kindness. It opens our hearts and minds to the power and the significance of love. Kindness is not just something we as humans naturally do, but it reveals a reflection of the character of God. It reveals God working in us. So while we were in Honduras this time, I learned a new word or a new phrase. And I have to just tell you, and I'll probably get there at some point. Well, it's actually right here on 225. I had a dream. Let me just slip over and talk about that a minute. Y'all think Marty's a butterfly. Well, Krista is too. She just jumps all over the place. I had a dream or a thought. I really don't know if it was a dream or a thought. But God revealed to me to listen to Spanish music to learn Spanish. We started a women's ministry in Honduras a couple of years ago, or a year ago, and it really is defeating when you stand before a group of women and you want them to see your heart, but you really want them to hear your heart. You want them to hear, I love you. I care for you. I want them to hear from me. I'm selfish, but God's still working on me. He still loves me, even through me being selfish. He still is working on me. He's still revealing things to me. And I want to be able to communicate that to them. I don't want to just stand before them crying and having an interpreter have to tell them what I'm feeling and what I'm seeing and be able to share, because I'm learning. People, honestly, they don't care how strong you are. They care how weak you are, because they connect with you through your weaknesses. Because sometimes maybe they have the same thought, or maybe they have the same weakness, and it's like, seriously? You do that too? Okay. Then if God can do that for you, he can do that for me. So with all that being said, you know, I've been listening to Spanish music, and well, that just seriously, I'm like, Lord, okay, I'm listening, but I don't understand a word they're saying. Like, how am I supposed to learn Spanish when I've got to see it? Like, I've got to see it in English and be able to hear it and connect it up. And while we were there on the trip, he said, Chris, I didn't ask you to look at it. I didn't ask you to see English and connect the dots. I did not ask you to learn it. I just said, listen. That's all I said. Listen. And I was like, wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you just told me all I have to do is listen. That's it. Just listen. Quit trying to figure things out for yourself. And that has really nothing to do with Spanish. It just has to do with if you will just listen to me. Just listen. Quit trying to figure it out. So anyway, going back to the word I've learned is muy amable. Very kind. And Randy, I don't even have to say, you are very kind. I can just look at you and say, muy amable, because in Spanish, they just kind of forget the you, and you can just look at someone and make direction with them. I mean, how easy is that? Muy amable. Well, y'all, it took me about 3 days to remember that, because I would look at Marty and he would say, Krista, it's, did I even get it right that time? He said, you know, it's just like, I mean, I grew up with Tyler Mobley. He said, it's just like Mobley. It's just a Mobley. And then it was the Mooey. And I was trying to go, you know, I was trying to add all these things to it. And Michelle, I know you're laughing, but it is really funny. I mean, it really is funny, because I swear to you, you can say it and I try to repeat it and they will try to correct me. And I'm thinking, that's what I'm saying. Do you not hear it? It's coming out. And they're like, no. And they're still continuing. But muy amable, very kind. I just think that is so cool that back in February, I was speaking about kindness. And now the Lord gives me the words to say, you're kind. But where he connected the dots was where the full circle came in. Is I was intentionally looking for kindness so that I could use the new word, the new phrase. Right or wrong, ever how it came out, it was the waiter giving me an extra water, muy amable. It was the lady that invited me into her home. You know, now I've shown up on her door with three guys, and we're all American. We're not from that community. None of us can speak Spanish. And it's like, come into my home. Raise your hand if you would do that. If three or four Spanish-speaking people came to your door at 12 o'clock during the day, they've got this odd black bag. You don't even know what's in it. And they're saying, you can't even understand what they're saying. And you're just like, come on in. You're not going to do that. Well, if you do, God bless you. But I'm not going to do it. I'm not even going to the door. I'm peeking through the window and I'm calling Marty to say, there are four Spanish-speaking people standing on the porch. You need to come home, because I don't know what they want. I mean, but they, I have practiced rolling my R's, and I really think that's where the Lord's going with the Spanish music is. My interpreter says, Krista, just say whatever, just let your mouth, just let words come out. And, you know, that's why I sit up here, is so that, God bless Lori, she kind of stands over there, and I just think, Lord, just close her ears that she can't hear what I'm saying, because it's just all kinds of stuff, and it's no tune in a bucket or anything. So anyway, but they invite you into their home, muy amable. They ask for prayer. One girl in particular, Jessie, asked for prayer because she has a tumor. She's going to the doctor next week for another test and then possibly surgery. And so we prayed for her. And she didn't stop there. She got out the Coke. It was a 2-liter, the plastic cups, and the saltine crackers. I could look at her and say, muy amable. She's so kind. So kind. So many full circle moments. And, you know, I talked about, I start opening my mouth and I start crying. And there have been times in my life where I couldn't cry. And I prayed, Lord, I just want to cry, because my heart is, I believe it's full of passion. I desire to love you only because he first loved me. I want you to know that I love you. I want to call you by name. I want you to know that I see you. I want you to know that I care. And for some reason, since February, I have just been torn up over a house bill that we did this past March. And I can't remember the guy's name, and I deleted it off my phone, but his son's name is Cooper. At the time that we met Cooper in February, we thought it was just he and his dad. His mom had left him, that we were going to build a new house for him, and I was so excited. But it tore me up. It ripped my heart out. And I wasn't sure why, and I still don't know why, because we've built houses, and I've seen a lot of sad stories. And they've always just, you know, they make an impression on you. But this one in particular, I just couldn't quit crying. We built a house for Cooper this past trip. I cried all day. Cried all day. Now, granted, I am one of two females on this trip, you know. And it was different because there were a lot of males. And I just think the Lord gave me that opportunity just to cry and not worry about it. Just, you know, put your sunglasses on and keep going. But my eyes were I was just burnt. I had cried so much. And I couldn't figure out why. That night, or that afternoon in Devo, one of David's kids, Hiro, said that we kind of share highs and lows or highs and heavies. And he said, you know, it was really cool to see that the dad, who actually had three boys instead of the one, had been praying for and believing for a better life for his sons for years. Years. Years this man has been faithful in prayer. Having faith in God to continue to pray for a better life for his boys. But then the full circle moment came when the house was built, and it wasn't about the house, but it was God's honor of that faithfulness, that he's always faithful. God is always faithful. So it was, you know, all this prayer of the dad's faithfulness, and then that full circle was God's faithfulness of giving him a home, and his boys had a better life. And just to see the joy on that man's heart, he was so happy. He was so happy. Stephanie Harper had just sent some random toys of Jace's along, like back in the February trip, and some underwear. I think there was some underwear and some t-shirts in there. I don't know. They were for a different situation, but I just never found the time for the other situation. And it was just like the Lord knew those three boys needed that, and they had more fun playing with some random toys that came out of Jace's toy box. Probably hadn't played with them in forever, and they were so happy. One of the brothers said, "Are these for us?" And they just played. It was there again, just full circle moment. So I guess I leave my thoughts today with I want to honor him. And I want to embrace the moment and embrace today as a full circle moment of Marty's dream, his thought, his vision of what was to come out of my mouth, and that I would speak out of a place of rest, not physical, but spiritually resting in him and just letting him do his thing. Quit thinking about it, Krista. Just listen. quit trying to make sense out of it and just listen and embrace the moment, the full circle moment.
Hey, we're going, what time is it? Somebody just say what time. 11:55, right before 12. All right. Hey, we are going to hit, let's go. Yes. Well, see, this is kind of what we do. To me, when we get to go to Honduras and we have groups, it's fun to me. It's just like coming to worship. Linda had no idea that it was going to be me speaking and just see what the Spirit's doing, because he's been working in her all week to come up with these songs. And then it just so happens to go along with what God's doing in me. That's kind of cool. So for me, in Devo, when we have groups down, we sit at Devo and we go around, everybody kind of shares. And you can tell what Holy Spirit is doing in the room by just the conversations. I mean, you just can. So it's kind of like that today. You just see what Holy Spirit's doing. So we are going to go to Mark 8:13. Everybody turn there. Let's go there. I kind of want to, and we'll sum it up, because this is what I get to do during Devo. After everybody kind of just talks, and then I get to wind it up. So it's what we're going to do. So, and I'm going to go through it kind of quickly. It's chapter 8 of Mark, and it's verse 13. And when he left them, he was talking about the Pharisees. And keep in mind, if you flip through your Bible a couple of pages, you'll see that Jesus had just multiplied the food twice. I don't remember what chapters, maybe in Mark 6 or anyway, but he's fed the 4,000, he's fed the 5,000, right? So he's leaving the Pharisees just from them seeking a sign. So in 13, where it says, and he left them, and I'm reading in New King James, and getting into the boat, he departed and went to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Key word, they had forgotten to take bread. They did not have more than a loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, this is Jesus, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. He had just left a conversation with the Pharisees, so that's what he's talking about. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And if you're studying through scriptures, you know that the leaven of the Pharisees is this religious spirit. Be aware of the religious spirit and the spirit of Herod, which is the political spirit. Be aware of those. The disciples was going completely somewhere different, because he said the word leaven, which has to do with bread. That's why they were thinking, oh no, we forgot to bring bread. They thought, holy cow, what we're going to do now? We don't have anything to eat. Right? But what did he just get? Now, I don't know how long time went between the 4,000 and the 5,000. I have no idea. I'm not a scholar. All I know is it's like two chapters prior. He had just got finished doing something. That's why this all kind of makes sense to me, is it's what you do with the revelation that you receive as what revelation comes next. If you do nothing with the revelation that you've received, don't expect new revelation. You've got to do something with the revelation that you receive, whether it makes sense to anybody else or not, right? This day makes maybe no sense to you whatsoever, but to me it makes sense. But it's what you do with that. It's faith activated. You've got to activate it whether it makes sense or not. So anyway, so there they are. Take heed of the... So there we go. We've got that. And they reason, verse 16, and they reason among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. That's the reason he said what he said. And Jesus saying, dude, what in the world are you smoking? That's my translation. Do you not remember? I mean, really, we just left 4,000. I multiply. That's just men. We all know the stories, right? The 4,000. So he's just finished feeding thousands of people. And now there's 12 of you in a boat. And you're concerned because we have no bread. Do you not remember? So let's just see. Why, verse 17, why do you reason because you've brought no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? That's the word that got me. We'll go back to that. But in verse 18, having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Or do you not remember? When I broke the 5,000 for the 5,000, when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, many baskets left over. Oh, it's 7,000. Seven. And I broke the 7 for the 4,000. So all the baskets left over. In verse 21, how is it that you still not understand? It's his faithfulness. We go through these things and we see God, we see the hand of God move without a shadow of a doubt. 6 months later, years later, 2 years later, 3 years later, we're going through the same situation and then we're fretting and we're worrying and we're concerned. How's God going to do? How's God going to do? This is us. This is us. But once you see it, you can't unsee it. And it's how it affects your heart. Because your heart, again, I've said it 3 times, I'm going to say it one more. Your heart will carry you where your head can't fit. If you try to make sense of listening to Spanish music and learning it, you miss the whole point. He said, listen, don't try to figure it out. We try to figure this book out and try to figure God out, and you'll never figure it out. That's why it requires faith. You're not going to understand it. I don't understand it. It requires faith. And we are going to go to John 3. Because I, with all my heart, I don't understand it. But I believe as a Victory Fellowship, as you personally, all these things happen. It's like building blocks trying to get us to this place. And again, you've heard Sid say a lot of times, it's not so much about the destination, but it's about who you become on the way. And he's building something in us, collectively, individually. For me personally, it is restored to the image of God himself. We are to grow up to be Jesus in the earth. I know that sounds weird, but it's the truth. We're his ambassadors. If you don't see it in Jesus' life, it shouldn't be in ours. If you see it in Jesus' life, then it should be in ours. Period. That's the gospel. Tyler said it when he ended in prayer. Last Sunday, we celebrated the Resurrection Sunday. That paid for us to be Jesus in the earth. You're his ambassadors. We represent him. Reconciling the world back to God. That's our role. Not sitting on a pew or not sitting in a chair. Not carrying on life as usual. It is restoring the kingdom and bringing that here. So I am going to read this because all this stuff that she was going on, this is what, where's that at? Here it is. This is what, and y'all go ahead and turn to John 3. And we really are going to get out of here and you can go enjoy a bright sunny day. I will find it in just a second. Maybe. Yep. Resurrection Sunday. Like I say, again, we were out of town. So, and I hadn't listened to last Sunday. I'm assuming it's on a podcast somewhere, but I haven't heard it. But this is what he was doing in me on Resurrection Sunday. We've been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. It's all scripture, right? Everybody, we know this, but this is what he was revealing to me. We've been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. We are seated with him in heavenlies. All that comes out of Ephesians, I think. Then I must put myself there, or let myself believe that that's where I am. If I've been given every spiritual blessing and I'm seated with him in heavenlies, then I'm there. In Christ, I'm seated with him in the heavenlies. Right? So that's scripture. So just work with me. So then I have to believe and I have to put myself that that's where I am. If I am ever to do what he is doing, say what he is saying, then I need to live in the reality that I live there. If I am to do, Jesus says, I do nothing of myself. This is Jesus. It's what Jesus said. I do nothing of myself. I only do what I see him do. I only say what I hear him say. I am to be Jesus in the earth. I am to say what God is saying. I am to do what God is doing. If I am to do that, then I have to put myself there in order to see what God is doing. Then I have to live with the reality that that's where I live and usher that kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, right? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So how is it in heaven? I usher that world, that kingdom here. Usher that kingdom here. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. Instead of me asking him to come and invade our world, maybe he's waiting on us to enter his and usher it here. I must know his kingdom in order to advance it. The heavens are open by Jesus' sacrifice, which we celebrated last Sunday, that through him, entering the veil, destroying that once and for all time, once and for all people, and once and for all time. It's through that sacrifice that we get to enter in. And who is Jesus for us? All right, so let's go to the John 3. You already there, I bet. Look at you. I'm telling you. She's got it going on. John 3, and we'll be quick and we'll go home. If I could find John 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 3. I'm not going to read all of that. Maybe I am. Because this is the Spirit. I mean, this is Linda's prayer from the beginning this morning in the side room. That Holy Spirit have his way. Not just Holy Spirit have your way. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a good teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless he's from God. Jesus answered him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Born again. Born again. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter that kingdom. Remember, ushering in that kingdom to here. Cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that is born of the spirit is spirit. Don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone born of the spirit. So you can't tell where I've gone, where I'm coming from. I'm just joking. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered to him, are you a teacher of Israel and don't know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we, this is God the Father, Jesus the Son, Holy Spirit, we speak of what we know and testify of what we've seen, and you do not receive our witness. So that's a hard saying, right? I mean, it's hard to understand what he's saying, but that's where faith and trust comes in. You don't understand. We can't figure it out. Verse 12, this is verse 12 and 13 is really where I want to go, reading up to this. If I had told you earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? How will you believe, not believe, if when I begin to tell you heavenly things? Because How will you not believe if I tell you heavenly things? I'm seated with him in the heavenlies. I've been given every blessing in that realm at my disposal. Now, I don't know what all that looks like, but that's the world, that's the realm that he's invited me into. So if I never do anything with the revelation that he's given me, how in the world will I ever experience this heavenly realm unless I begin to take a step to get there? Right? We can only sit back and just only think of, oh, well, what, I'm seated with him in heavenly places. Verse 13. Get this. This is crazy. This is like Star Wars movies to me. It's like, and I'm not a Star Wars buff, but it's just out from my understanding. I think that's why he says to be renewed in your mind, right? Because you've got a completely different way of thinking. Verse 13. Jesus said these words, no one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. No one has ever ascended but the Son of, but me. I'm the one that ascended, right? He left heaven, all of his glory, and he came to earth to walk the earth. No one has ascended but me. Right? So he's talking about himself. No one has ascended into heaven but he who come down from heaven. So he came down from heaven, now he's gone back up to heaven. And that's prior to, because he hadn't even died yet. Right? When he died for us to restore us on Resurrection Sunday that we just got finished celebrating, he ascended back to the heavens. Right? This was prior to that. But he says this, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That's all me. That is the Son of Man, him, who is in heaven right now while we're talking. So he was at two places at one time. That's kind of bizarre. It's kind of fun to think about. So how can I be walking the earth and still be seated with him in heavenly places? I'm seated with him right now in heavenly places. Right? Right. We're seated with him right now in heavenly places. I'm here, but I'm there. If I'm to ever usher in that world, I think that's where, I know it's kind of, it's like, what? I'm still saying, what now? What is that? I mean, you read. I mean, it's like, huh. So just maybe he's waiting for us. Back to what I wrote last Sunday. Maybe he's, instead of, not saying it's wrong to God come invade or come. I'm not saying that at all. Come, Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come. It's all scripture. But what if there's this element of our lives, the place that he's leading us into to be Jesus on the earth, is more about us being there and ushering that here? How can we represent him in the earth to be his ambassadors if we're not there all at the same time? It's the invitation. It's what you do with the revelation that you've been given where more comes. So let's step into that. It's kind of exciting, right? You never know what's going on. So stand to your feet. Anybody got anything they want to say? You know, I'm kind of open forum here. Having eyes to see, but yet you still choose not to see. Having ears to hear, and you still choose not to hear. Or do you not remember all that God has done? Back to the Mark 8. We've seen what God has done and what he's still yet doing. All that is an invitation into the more that he still yet has to do for us to walk out the desires, the purposes, and the dreams of his for us, for his creation to be just like Jesus in the earth. This gospel is not a destination gospel. Yes, there's destinations in the end for sure. But this gospel is about being restored, redeemed now. to live out the dreams and the purposes and the destiny he has for you. And it's way more than we can see. All this stuff that comes up against us is just to distract us. Yeah, are they crazy, stupid stuff going on in the earth? Absolutely. Is it dark? Absolutely. No one's saying it's not. But we invade the darkness. It's what we're built for. We invade that. If we just sit back and talk about it and not do anything about it, then yeah, it's going to be dark. No, we invade the darkness. Father, we thank you for your love. We are blown away with your plans and your purposes for our lives. We submit to that. We desire to represent you well and in the fullness of who you are and who you've designed us to be. We give you all that we are. We surrender. We die to us. We take up our cross and we're going to follow you, Jesus. You would have never said, follow me, if we couldn't follow. Jesus, we follow you. We give you our whole lives. It's you living your life through us. We surrender. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, have a great day. The sun is shining. Deal with the pollen. It's part of it. It's fallen mankind. Suck it up, buttercup. Amen.